Hello and welcome back to Life Lessons. My name is Siobhan O'Hagan and today it's just me as I am going to talk about books. So whenever I'm on a podcast, whenever I'm a guest, I feel like they always finish with the question of what is your top three books? And I'm always thrown because there are so many books that I've read that I think are really beneficial for other people to read, but it really depends on what you want. So today I went through a lot of books. I don't know if this is all the books I've read, but I've went through a lot of them between Goodreads, my Kindle. I don't have that many hard copy books. I do love hard copies to read in general, but because I've always been traveling, the last couple of years I've stuck to Kindle. I use Audible a lot. I get a lot of questions about the Kindle I use. I think it's just a Paperwhite. I'll put a link to it in the show notes, and all the books I'll mention, I'll put a link to them as well. So don't worry about having to write them all down. I'm going to try and skim over a few in each of these categories. And then if I have time at the end, I will keep going because I put a poll up yesterday saying, do you want more or do you want to be concise? And of course, the poll ended up 50-50. So that wasn't helpful. But the categories I'm going to talk about are productivity, business and money, spirituality, psychology, sociology, history, politics. That's only kind of a new thing I'm getting into, so I don't really know what it's called really. And then lastly, health and fitness, which, do you know what, considering, you know, my job and what I do, there's not that many books that I recommend. I have a good few here, but they're not probably the ones that you'd think. They're not going to be diet books that tell you the secret to, I don't know, fasting. Anyway, I'm going to start with productivity, and I'm going to do 5 books of each section, right? That's so that I have to be more specific and I have to be quite helpful. I don't know if it would be helpful to tell you 10 books to read in each section because it wouldn't narrow it down. So I tried to put them in a bit of order that I thought was most beneficial. So in productivity, the one book that I think everybody in the world could benefit from reading is Atomic Habits by James Clear. I think I've read it, I don't know how many times I've read it, probably like 5 times. The first time I read it, I was listening to Audible, and it hit me, it was like, oh, another habits book. I had very good habits at the time. I'd read Charles Duhigg book. And I was like, well, what else am I going to learn from this? But it's the simplicity of it. Like, it's such a simple book, but so effective. And it really, I don't know, I really think it helped me implement reading daily. Like, that's why I always say, if you want to start reading, start with Atomic Habits, because it'll help you bring the habit into your life. Other things like habit stacking, that really helped me go from, say, reading to yoga and not getting distracted. Having habits in an order rather than at a certain time. So like, instead of having 7 a.m., I'm going to do my meditation. And then when 7 a.m., you miss it, you don't do it. It's kind of more, there's a lot to it. And I'm not going to go into every book in so much detail, but that one is brilliant. Next up, and it's one of the ones I actually avoided for years. You see this in airports everywhere. And to be honest, I think I was avoiding it because I was like, completed it, mate. It's Tim Ferriss' 4-Hour Work Week. And I really think it is worth reading. And it's because it does line up with how I've been living my life the last couple of years, where I really valued time over money. So like, with a lot of my business stuff, I would be like, what is the core stuff that I need to do? And what can I trade money for time? So my goal was always about having more free time, less work, and obviously trying to keep the quality of the work we do high as well. And this book is all about just looking at systems. It kind of changes your psychology as well around work and lifestyle, and I think it is really beneficial to read. And another one, which again I thought the title was a bit, you know, I heard one podcast with Mel Robbins on it and I was like, you really wrote a whole book on this? And it's called The 5-Second Rule. And the basic concept is that if you're putting off anything, if you're lying on the couch and you're like, oh, I need to do the washing, instead of waiting for it to happen, you just go 5, 4, 3, 2, 1 and you get up and you do whatever it is. And it's so simple, but it really does help. If you find you're like, okay, just I need to put on my runners so that I can go outside and go for a walk, and it's just not happening, just count down, and at one you have to do it. There's just no negotiations. But the book actually had a lot more depth to it and I really enjoyed it. So I would recommend that. I haven't read it in a couple of years, but I do remember being very surprised at how much more there was to it than just that 5-second rule. Okay, so I'm gonna go with Tony Robbins' Awaken the Giant Within. Now, if you've been following me for years, you've been following Sinead for years, you'll know that this book really I think we both read it at a similar time in our lives where we needed a bit more direction. And what this gave me was really, it made me kind of drill down into my own goals and values and set practical goals. And I remember having the goals on my wallpaper on my phone, just as emojis to really nail it in every day, like what I was working towards. And without even realizing it, one day I realized like all the goals had been smashed. And these were goals that when I was writing them down, I was like, no, that'll never happen. Like they seemed, and I don't know what the secret is, but the book, I suppose give a lot of credit to the book with Tony Robbins. I don't think I've read any of his other ones besides Money, you know, and some of the stuff I can find, you know, can be very cheesy, but I think it is worth reading. And I keep thinking I should read it again and see, you know, what new goals I set now, because I'm not as driven. I'm going to go with Tribe of Mentors, Tim Ferriss, get another nod. Mainly because, well, in this book, he speaks to really successful people across companies. I think there's artists, you know, like lots of different people who he deems successful. And he asks them all the same, I think it's 12 questions. But it's really good because it's like asking these successful people about what they do to be happy, to be successful, to be productive. So there's so much value in the book. I remember I was reading it and I used to always stop and take notes. And one of the really surprising things that I found with even the most successful people, or sorry, the busiest people, was that they were all meditating, like sometimes up to a couple of hours a day. And these are people who are running several huge companies. That was the biggest takeaway I got from it, but there's loads of just small hints and tips, books, recommendations. There's a lot of value. So I feel like by recommending that one, you're going to get even more recommendations and value out of that. So next I'm going to talk about business/money. And you know, I've absolutely been winging it with my business and money for the last few years. I'm definitely not someone to go to for advice, but some of the books that really helped, I suppose, shape my attitude to money more than anything. Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. Kiyosaki, I think is how you say it. Again, a book that you see in every airport. It's, you know, top of the list for so many things. And I think what I liked about it is it's the concept of having money work for you rather than you working for money. So he uses the concept of his rich dad is the, I think he was a fella who started working really young and had a job, invested the money into other things, and then ended up having more money without having to work as hard. And where he calls his poor dad is, sorry, it's not actual two dads, but his poor dad was I think a college professor, so was working really hard, really intelligent, followed a profession and was working, you know, for a certain amount of hours and getting paid for those hours. And he's kind of compares the two different lifestyles, the two different attitudes to money and life. And I found that really interesting, especially because I wanted to do a profession when I was growing up. You know, I studied actuarial maths and, you know, I'm still terrible at money. But I think it was an interesting one for me to read, especially in my 20s when I didn't know what I was, especially when I felt very lost and felt like I should have a profession. And following on from that, also by Robert Kiyosaki, excuse the pronunciation, and to be honest, he's gone very much into network marketing and stuff like that. Like, I don't really like his current stuff, or I don't know how current it is, but his other book that I enjoyed was Rich Dad's Guide to Investing. It really helped me realise that, you know, getting a mortgage young and getting a house isn't the be all and end all. Of course, he's not saying don't do it, but it's just kind of giving another perspective on what you can do with your money. And again, this could be, you know, a confirmation bias for me that, you know, because I didn't have a mortgage and I was like, yeah, great, this is the way to do it. But just, you know, and even if you have a mortgage, you might find it interesting about, he kind of sees property that you're buying just to live in as a liability more than an asset. And yeah, so if that sounds interesting, pick it up. Oh yeah, okay, this one, The Psychology of Money by Morgan Housel. Again, not one that I've seen recommended that many times. I think someone said I would enjoy it, and I really did. And I think, again, probably want to read maybe early on in life. I don't know when that is, when I define that as. I think I only read it like 2 years ago. But it is a good way to see how you value money, how you value time, your attitude to risk. You know, like I'm someone that will pay, I'll exchange money for time all the time, you know, whereas other people might have a different attitude. I'm always trying to say this to my mom. She's always like, I'll get the bus from the airport. I'm like, it's cold, it's wet. Let's just get a taxi. We live so close. And it's only, you know, sorry, we live in Swords. So it's like 10 euro. I'm like, but like, she sees that it's such a waste of money when the bus is only 2 euro and an extra 15 minutes or something. And what I've learned is that, like, no one's right or wrong. It's It's Your Psychology of Money. So I think that book is worth a read as well. And I didn't know which section actually to put this one in, but it's not the, the last, I think this is, what's this, five? One, two, three. This is four, okay. Not a Life Coach by James Smith. I really enjoyed this book. And again, it could be because of confirmation bias and how I was living my life at the time. I remember literally reading a section and it was how he was speaking about how he would prefer to be sitting on Dog Beach in Bali with a bintang in his hand, watching the sunset on a beanbag, than, I don't know, having a mortgage or something like that. And of course I was like, yes, James, it's exactly how I feel. But there actually is a lot of value to it as well. Again, it's similar to maybe The Psychology of Money, and also very similar to Tim Ferriss's 4-Hour Work Week. It's, you know, different ways of living life. And, you know, again, I say none of these books are correct. I never say that these books, they're supposed to give you a way of thinking, and this could be something that is in line with your life. It could be something opposing your life. But I do think it is always really good to look at different points of view. One more under that section. Start With Why by Simon Sinek. If you are running a business, if you are maybe even just, you know, if you're working for somebody else, even understanding your why is so important. And I talk about this a lot when it comes to training and nutrition. And rather than just doing a job, or rather than just making money through a business, you have to be really clear on your why, and because that's what will drive you in the long run. And that's the basis of the book. I haven't read it in years, so I probably can't give you much more detail on that. But again, it's one of those ones you see in all the charts. A lot of people recommend. Hopefully you'll have a few that aren't just like the usuals in these recommendations. Okay, that's five in that section. Now, this one's going to be a bit deep. Spirituality. So I've been through a bit of a, well, do you know, it's for another podcast, a full episode on like my beliefs and everything. But one book I have to mention is Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle. But I want to actually preface that by saying A New Earth is better. And I actually think so many people start with The Power of Now by Eckhart Tolle when he has another book called A New Earth, which I think is a lot better. I've only read it again recently. I've definitely read it at least three times. And I think if everyone read A New Earth, the world would be a better place. It's actually about, it's more about your ego, not even in a bad way. It's just recognizing your ego and when your ego is at play, when someone else's ego is at play, and recognizing how to handle it. Like it's just such a calming book, and it kind of helps looking at behaviors of other people, and then you end up being quite calm in your reaction to it. So I really think A New Earth is worth reading. And then The Power of Now, it's very, very deep. So I think a lot of people start it because they see people recommending it and then they get a bit stuck. And it's one definitely not for Audible. I used to read a page a day. So I have read it twice. It's very deep. And it's a take on spirituality. It's quite, I don't know, what is it like to say it's like Buddhism? I'm not quite sure. I won't give you any conclusions on spirituality, but these are just some books that might open up your mind to different areas of spirituality or ideas in spirituality. Oh yeah, okay. Again, to narrow these down, this is so hard. Buddhism, Plain and Simple by Steve Hagen. No relation. I really enjoyed this book. I didn't really know much about Buddhism, and obviously then I started traveling around Thailand and meeting people who were Buddhists, and I just found it really interesting, their way of life. It was very different to the way we as in Western culture, not as a religion. So I just read, I wanted to read kind of what about Buddhism and what their beliefs were, especially spending so much time in that culture. And I found it really interesting. I always found it was more of a philosophy more than a religion, but that was, of course, a caveat, everything here, my opinion. I don't really know anything. This is just my conclusions from some of these books. But I think it is a good read, no matter what religion you are. Again, it's just about being quite calm. And one of the things I like about Buddhism is like the middle way, where you don't take anything too extreme. And I really started implementing that in my life, because I used to be quite an extremist. And now I definitely take the middle way. I'm definitely a little bit lazier, but I say happier? I think so. Yeah, and this book, I nearly didn't have it on the list because I had it in a hard copy, so it wasn't on my Goodreads, and it wasn't on Kindle, and it wasn't on Audible. I think we did get it on Audible as well. But what I know for sure by Oprah Winfrey, such a good book. This I love buying for other people. So it's a lovely package. It's in a lovely little hard copy, and each little chapter is just really nice way of looking at life. Oprah is quite spiritual. She's actually like Bezies with Eckhart Tolle. I actually don't even know if that's how you pronounce it. But she wrote this beautiful book. It's just great for women. You know, so as a woman like Oprah has been in the public eye, who has battled with her weight, who has, you know, found happiness, she has a lot of wisdom, and it's such a nice book to read yourself. And I love gifting it to other people. Again, it's about like £10 or €10 to send someone a book, and I just think it's a really nice thing to do. Okay, this one I have to mention again, for to be opposing maybe to some of the other ones, God Is Not Great by Christopher Hitchens. And as you can tell, it's quite an atheist book. I think I read this maybe last year. But yeah, it's kind of, it looks at all the trouble, I suppose, that organized religion has, and he tries to disprove God, which is a big task. And I found it really interesting. You know, I'm not going to say, make any conclusions. These are books that are quite polarized in their views, but I like to read polarized books and make my own decision. So I just wanted to mention, he's actually passed away now, but he has written some good books. Apparently his other books are good. I haven't read them yet. Okay, psychology. Now this list, I might have to do a few more than five in this list, because I feel like I've completed psychology books. No, I probably haven't, but you know, every popular psychology book I feel like I've read, and I got to a point where they were all sounding the same. And I think that's why I've started moving away from it. I think some of them are really good and have really good bases, but then the rest of them are kind of building on that or saying the same thing a different way. So I was kind of getting frustrated with some books. I was hearing like some book was amazing and I'd pick it up and be like, oh, that was just like the other one. So I'm going to start with five here. Okay. And number one, which again, if you've been following me since the start, you'll have heard me talk about Lost Connections by Johann Harry. When I first read this, it blew my mind. And it's talking about the importance of connection in your life, in your work, in your purpose. And it's something I actually stopped recommending that much around, you know, during the pandemic, because obviously we were all very, well, some people were very secluded, and reading about how that can affect your mental health and everything isn't ideal. But I do think it is important, because it was something I recognized over the years, you know, especially in Bali, where I was going for lunch and dinners and all the time with loads of people. I never felt alone. And I, of course, it's, you know, I don't know if it's causation or correlation, but I was always very happy. And the people around me, I felt, were always very happy. And I was like, it's because you have so much social connection every day. The book is, it's good. Again, with any book, and it does get criticisms, and it's, I'm not saying I agree with everything in it. Like, he is quite against medicine for depression. So, you know, of course, take everything with a pinch of salt, make your own conclusions, don't take anything as gospel. But I do think the book has a lot of value. Okay, the next one, The Chimp Paradox by Steve Peters. And this one is just really helpful to remove any kind of conflict in your life. And the concept is that you have this chimp in your brain, and then you have the human and the computer, I think is the three of them. And it's trying to recognize when it's your chimp at work, which is, your chimp is the person that wants to, you know, react when someone slags you or attacks you in any way. You know, the one that wants to get there, I suppose, you know, might be a bit greedy or is not thinking of other people. And sometimes, and I suppose the whole book is about recognizing when it's your chimp at work and then responding with your human. And it really, I always use the example of when you're driving in a car and someone pulls out in front of you, and your automatic reaction is for your chimp to just go mad, be like, what an idiot, are you trying to kill me? But your human, if you recognize that's your chimp at play, your human can say, okay, this person made a mistake. Obviously they didn't mean to do it. They're not actually trying to kill me. And then you can react in a way it's more peaceful for you, and it just diffuses the situation as well. Because if your chimp is, you know, driving by, giving the finger, you know, this is the kind of, it can escalate. So that's the premise of the book, but it is really good, especially if you have any conflict in your life. I do think it really helps. It just really helps give peace to your life. And I think that's what the goal is really in life, isn't it? Okay, that's two. This one, I don't think it gets enough credit. I haven't seen it mentioned enough. and it is one of the best things I've ever read. 101 Essays to Change the Way You Think by Brianna West. It is what it says in the tin, I suppose. But the essays are just full of wisdom. I really, really enjoyed it. I read that in the Kindle. I remember thinking I was going to buy it again in hardback, but I might even just revisit on the Kindle. Again, very like the Oprah Winfrey book in that they're short, they're little essays to get you thinking, and it's really a really beautiful read, and I think it's a really positive book. You can't leave that without feeling really positive. Okay, The Daily Stoic by Ryan Holiday. The Daily Stoic, I've gone through it probably 3 or 4 times. It's not in my routine anymore. Actually, I don't even know where it is. But it is a daily book. It's a book with a idea of stoicism on each page. And stoicism, and my understanding of it, is just about not reacting. As in, you know, if someone is quite stoic, it's about, you know, controlling your emotions, taking a realistic and rational look at life, and I suppose doing the work as well is what I'd say. But I really like this because it can be used alongside your journaling. So you can read a page a day. You can start on any day. Like, they are dated, but it doesn't really matter. You read a page, see what you like about it, and then maybe write about it. I've gone through it 3 or 4 times and I do really like it. I really think it's good. The Code of the Extraordinary Mind by Vishen Lakhiani. When I first read this, again, it was one that just lined up with my lifestyle, but I really thought it was brilliant. I thought there was a lot of value in it. Again, just your approach to life. You know, it's just another way of living. I can't remember exactly what I liked about it now that I think about it. I'm like, what was it that I loved about it so much? And it was just his attitude to life. And I really think it's worth reading. That's a terrible review. Sorry, that was terrible. But it is good, I swear. I should probably read these books before I come back to them. Or before I recommend them. Okay, so this is a bit of a random one. It's called Loving What Is by Byron Katie. And I listened to this on Audible. I actually don't know if it is a written copy because it was a lot of speeches and a lot of, like, there was dialogue between people. And I would describe this as changing the way you think about situations. And she asks these questions about any thought you have or belief you have. And it's kind of strange. Like, she makes you turn it around and swap your words around in a sentence, and which doesn't really make sense, but it works. It really does change your perspective on your thoughts, and I really found it beneficial. I think there's an app as well, which I never actually got around to using, but I really think that book helped shape and change my thoughts. Okay, 2 little short ones that I think are very, and one is a novel technically, but it's more about attitude to life. Tuesdays with Mari by Mitch Albom. And it's about an old man called Murray who's dying, and this man the author spends Tuesdays with him, and just a lovely way to see a different outlook in life. And again, the way we probably all want to feel if we are lucky enough to get to old age, would recommend that. Another one, very short, you could read this in a day or less, Who Moved My Cheese by Spencer Johnson. And it is just a nice short read about kind of adapting to whatever way life throws at you. That's all you need to know. Okay, so there's a few here that I really think are worth mentioning. I might skip over my 5 limit for this section. Toxic Positivity by Whitney Goodman. I read this last year and it finally gave me what I had this underlying feeling of for a while now. And it's about this, I suppose it's called Toxic Positivity online, where, and I'm able to see it now, where you have someone even like me who was on Instagram, loads of followers, and was like, you can do anything if you just believe in it. And I think as I get older, or I don't know what changed, but I've kind of started taking a wider look on life and kind of consider all people from different classes, race, everything. And I'm recognizing my own privilege. And I think that's changed my tune a lot when it comes to just telling anyone that they can do anything. And obviously it is a great way to believe, but I think what the underlying tone is that if you don't achieve something, that you just didn't try hard enough, and that's toxic positivity. The book is really interesting. With any book, I don't believe in everything or don't agree with everything that she says, but I do think it's an important read where, you know, we're just told about believing and achieving anything. Now, of course, self-belief is important. Again, I'm not saying don't believe in yourself. I just think we have to be careful with some messaging. And I definitely think that book is worth reading. This book I actually read last year, maybe 2 years ago. It's called Selfish, Shallow and Self-Absorbed, 16 Writers on Decision Not to Have Kids. So I thought, I don't want to have kids. I'm going to read this. And sorry, if you're just joining, if you don't know, I'm pregnant at the moment. But I really think it's a good read, even if you do want kids, because for me, it was like, I just needed confirmation that it's not weird to not have kids. Like at the time where I was in my life, I just didn't see kids being a part of it. And this book just talks about, I suppose, it's different essays from different people. And it's an easy read, but it's interesting. And it's comforting in both ways. I think some of the essays, they do end up having kids. But if you don't want kids, it is worth reading. And it's entertaining as well. Oh God, there's so many here I want to talk about. The School of Life by Alain de Botton. And do you know what? I'm going to read that again. Someone handed it to me. I'd never heard of it. Just kind of got through it. And I found so much wisdom in it. I read it about 2 years ago. And I keep thinking I must read it again, because I remember there was just so much wisdom. You know, I was highlighting loads of it and sharing it in my story. But I feel like it's not mentioned enough. The School of Life, I'm definitely going to read that again. This one, me and Sinead loved, Surrounded by Idiots. We both read it around the same time. And what it does is, it's obviously quite a simplified version of psychology. It's not like exact science, but it divides people into four colour categories. And obviously, again, quite generalized. You're putting, you know, you've got your behaviors, your attitudes, your everything is categorized. And I was, I'd say, bluey red, and Sinead is yellow. And at the time, we were living together, and it was so good because we were able to then see that, you know, I wasn't doing things to annoy her, she wasn't doing things to annoy me. It was like, that's just how we are. And it was also, it teaches you how to deal with people with like these character behaviors and how to maybe curb your own behaviors and attitudes. And I found it really, really helpful. And I think a lot of people did as well. I did get some criticism when we shared it, saying, you know, like, you can't categorize people exactly. And obviously that is true. But again, read a book. If you get something from it, brilliant. If you're not doing any harm, there's no problem with it. I'm gonna go with Judgment Detox by Gabrielle Bernstein. Again, a book that, you know, she's very, very spiritual and sometimes loses me a little bit in that. You know, like, if she kind of starts talking a little bit too much about God, I'm like, but that's, you know, I just kind of start questioning then how true the rest of it is when I don't. Anyway, we're not going to talk about beliefs. But I think the start of this book, but just, I think she does meditations at the end, which I never actually did. But the rest of the book is so good. It's about noticing, obviously, when you are judging someone else and also when you're judging yourself. And to the point where you're then judging yourself or judging someone else and realizing that's okay too. And I think it's, again, another book that can give you peace of mind, that can help you move through the world a little bit happier and less angry. Worth a read. Okay, I'm going to leave psychology there. I don't even know if they do count as psychology. This is my own categorization. Sociology/history/politics. So when I started with the psychology, I kind of started becoming more interested in like human behavior and why we act the way we do. And even like as a group, and I think even around the pandemic and stuff, I was really interested in like, I was like, I can't wait for a couple of years and go back and read about how, as a society, things were shaped. I don't really, but the thing is, like, this is something I don't know anything about. So like, I'm trying to read books to get started in it. I think history has, I used to think history was boring, but I find it so interesting now reading about the olden days and how that's shaped our culture now. So there are a few books that they're a bit disjoint, like they actually probably have nothing to do with each other. I don't know. They're all just kind of lumped in under this heading. But one of the, yeah, Sapiens by Noah Yuval Harari, and his other books, Homo Deus and Lessons for the 21st Century, I think it's called. Very good books. So interesting. History, everything, like human behavior, humans in general. Very, very interesting. Highly recommend. He's always been up in the charts. Again, it's one of those very, very popular ones. This is a bit different. Very different, sorry. It's called Everything is Fucked, A Book About Hope by Mark Manson. Now, I didn't mention this before, but Mark Manson's first book, The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, I didn't enjoy when I first read it. Really, really, I think it was just overhyped. And again, I just, when I read it, I was like, meh. So then I heard this podcast with this guy on it, and he was talking about this new book. And I was like, wow, that book sounds so interesting. I'm going to buy it straight away. And then I realized it was Mark Manson, and I was like, oh. But I bought it anyway, and I read it. And I found it so interesting. It kind of talks about the future. And yeah, I mean, it's about hope. It's about what we need to worry about, especially around AI and stuff like that. Again, I haven't read this. This was probably 4 years ago I read this. But I'm a huge fan of Mark Manson now. Like, I take back everything I said about his first book. I even read it again and was like, yeah, there actually is value in that when you change your bias. And actually, following on from that book, there's another one called Scary Smart, The Future of AI and How You Can Save the World by Mo Gaudet. God, I don't know whether to recommend this or not. Like, it's kind of bleak, but it's kind of looking at where technology is taking us and what we need to worry about. And I suppose he does say how you can save the world. Like, he does kind of pick it back up and make it a bit more positive. But I do think it is an important read, the way technology is going now. Okay, sorry, the top of this list, which I haven't mentioned yet, is The Irrational Ape by David Robert Grimes, who is Irish. I didn't even know that when I first picked it up. Actually, it was Ed who said, he's like, you need to read this, you're going to love it. And I did. It's about I suppose conspiracy theories and how people get tied up in them and how misinformation is spread. And I found it so interesting. It was actually written before the pandemic, but I read it during the pandemic, so it felt really apt at the time. I think I listened to it first and then had to buy it on Kindle as well. And I'm sharing bits of it. I think I bought the hard copy as well. Big fan. I'd love to have David on the podcast actually sometime just to talk about it, because I find him, he's so intelligent. I feel like he's fighting a hard battle online of misinformation. But the book is really good, would recommend. And then more recently, which is a bit of a turn for me, was going more into geography. So this one, Tim Marshall has written a couple of books, but the first one I read is Prisoners of Geography. And it's really interesting. You know, like, you just think the world is, you definitely don't think the world is created equally, but you don't really consider how the geography of the planet affects everything else. You know, like the economy, culture, everything. It's so interesting. And so I'd highly recommend it. Like, it's, again, one of those things that I read it and learned so much from it. And it kind of put me on different paths of other things I wanted to learn about. I started reading books about Russia, and which is obviously very apt and interesting at the moment. And his second book is called Power of Geography. And now I can't remember which is first. They're very similar names, but both of them very interesting. Learning about the world is actually really important, especially if you live on a little island like Ireland, I'm talking about myself there. I just didn't really know that much about what is going on in the rest of the world. And now I do, and I find it really interesting. Some other books to mention in this category: What White People Can Do Next by Emma Dabiri. Around the time Black Lives Matter, I started really trying to educate myself on racism and everything, all the issues like systemic racism, everything around it. And like, I was so ignorant before it. And the more I learned, I realized you can't just be like, I'm not racist. You need to acknowledge it's not systemic, it's like inherent racism that we automatically have from our culture, and being able to recognize it is when you can make changes. And Emma is she's Irish actually, she studied African studies, and she wrote this book, What White People Can Do Next, amongst others. And it's really, really worth reading, especially if you've never read anything about racism and you're white and or whatever your background is. I just think the more knowledge we have, the better. You know, the more informed we have, the more we consider other people's lived experience and not just our own, the better. So that's a good book to get started on that. And again, probably another polarized version. Again, these books are to get you thinking rather than saying you agree with everything. But I recently read, or maybe it was last year, Beyond Order, 12 More Rules for Life by Jordan Peterson. And I picked this up, you know, I was like, I don't like this guy. But I found a lot of wisdom in it. I found a lot of things that made me think, and I really liked that. There are pages that I was fuming about, and I've had debates about people on it. And that's what I want from a book. It's what I want, things that challenge my thoughts, which sometimes help reinforce my own thoughts, but also, you know, it opens up my eyes to different lived experiences. Again, like, this is, you know, to contrast from Emma, this is an old white man who has very strong opinions in the world, and these contrasting opinions are important to listen to. We can't just live in an echo chamber, but doesn't mean you have to agree with everything. Okay, before we get too deep, what's another one? Oh yeah, Chasing the Scream by Johan Hari as well, same author as Lost Connections. That book is really interesting. I suppose it's like the cause for legalization of drugs, especially in relation to alcohol, and found it very interesting. Like, it's kind of more that, I mean, it's more shocking that alcohol is legal more than anything else, but very good book. Okay, I'm going to move on to health and fitness. Okay. Safer category, where I won't say anything controversial, hopefully. So there's a few books here. But when it comes to health and fitness, some of them, I mean, it's really hard to sell a book without selling something extraordinary. And the thing is, with health and fitness, it's actually quite simple, and we all pretty much know what we need to do. You know, you eat well, sleep well, eat mostly nutrient dense food, don't cut anything out. It's very simple. But yet, I mean, there's so many books on fasting, on keto, on vegan, on whatever. So the books that sell well have to be extreme, I think. But I'm just going to mention a couple of books that I do think will benefit you from reading. Why We Sleep by Matthew Walker. Now, it's definitely come under criticism about some of the claims in it. You know, there are some very extreme claims, but I think the premise of it is important, like the importance of sleep, which I really needed to read at the time when I first read it, because I was the kind of person who would, you know, be up at 5 a.m. to do training and drinking Monster in the evening, so I'd stay up and do some work at night, and I didn't realise the importance of health or sleep on my health. But yeah, Not a Diet Book by James Smith. I have a very similar ethos when it comes to training, nutrition, health as James does. So when he wrote the book, or even when he was telling me about writing the book, I was kind of like, oh, right, okay, there's no point me doing one then. But he did it, I think, quite well, quite entertaining, simple, and really beneficial. Like, you won't need to read another diet book if you read that. And actually, a hat tip to Ben Carpenter, who has written everything fat loss. I'm just in the middle of it. And again, really good, unbiased information, very scientific, and backed up with all the citations of, I would say, thousands of studies. He put a lot of work into it. So that book, you would not need to read another diet book. One that's more actually helpful around nutrition is called Is Butter a Carb by Rosie Sand. You know, the title would even put me off. You know, I'm like, oh, here we go. But do you know what? The title's needed to gather attention in this world of health and fitness books. It is very much a simple, accurate book about nutrition. Worth a read, especially if you're a female who does crazy diets. And then I suppose to polarize that, I would mention Just Eat It by Laura Thomas. And when I read this, I actually was like triggered in myself. But again, these are the important books that you need to read that challenge your opinions. And she's very against fitness influencers, and I learned a lot from it. I took a lot from it, but to the point where, like, I nearly shut down my program because I was like, oh my god, no one should ever diet ever. And so it is, I suppose, extremist on the other end of the scale, but it's worth reading. It's about, you know, trying to move away from diet culture, which is what I'm very passionate about. But I suppose when you just tell people to just stop, I just don't know if there's enough value, or if, you know, if people are going to do that. I don't think you can just tell people to stop wanting to be thin or stop dieting. I think there needs to be a handheld out of that. But a very good book, worth reading. Actually, sorry to mention now, probably more relevant to where I'm at now, and maybe anyone who's similar to me, as in pregnant, I read Your Baby, Your Birth by Holly DeCruz, and it's all about hypnobirthing and just being pregnant in general, and what you need to consider over the whole process and what you and your partner need to do. And it's, I mean, in an ideal situation, you just breathe your baby out, but it also prepares you to have, I suppose, to have preferences rather than a plan when it coming up to birth. And I think after reading that, I felt really calm about it. And it has meditations that you can do when you're going to bed and when you're on the tube, and, you know, with affirmations of how I am a strong woman and I can deliver this baby. So yeah, really, I found it really interesting, in depth as well. I also read, the first one I read was How to Grow a Baby and Push It Out, I think by Clementine, I can't remember her second name. But that one, I did find it beneficial, but I think it's because it's the first one I read and I didn't know anything. So maybe one to start if you're like me and don't know. Actually, this is important. Menopocalypse by Amanda Thebe. So maybe if you're in a different stage of life, but I think all women need to read this, and anyone who knows a woman, I suppose, should read this. It's about what happens to your body before, during and after menopause. And it's, do you know what, reading it, it is scary, but I think it's so important to know, because there's so many symptoms that, you know, get dismissed as someone being cranky or hormonal or I don't know. And I think it's important to understand what's going on in your body, and important for like your family to know, who are you, for anyone to know what women are going through, because it looks like it's going to be very tough. I work with a lot of women who are perimenopausal, and luckily, and this book kind of reinforced the idea of resistance training, not too much high intensity stuff, eating a high protein diet. You know, it's all the basics, but it's kind of good to get it reinforced. So would recommend that. Okay, do you know what I'm going to mention? Two books that I thought were overrated. And maybe you'll disagree. I mean, what I learned yesterday talking about books on my profile was that people really, really disagree on similar books, on the same book. I was only talking about novels, and some people are like, oh my God, that book is terrible. How did you like it? And they're like, you have to read this book. And I'm like, oh my God, I hated that book. So everyone's opinions are different, but this one, I just didn't get it. And I think it's just I'm just going to say what it is first. The Midnight Library by Matt Haig. It was so overhyped. I think after the first two pages, I knew what was going to happen. I won't say what's going to happen. It's actually a novel, so it really doesn't fit under this. It was a little bit like self-help, and that's kind of the genre that Matt Haig would normally write under. And his other books are great. But this one, I mean, I got through it and was like, I can tell you what's going to happen right now. And it was really obvious. And I just don't get the hype. And I always say, I'm probably a bit bad, but I always be like, if it was my first book, or like I'm kind of slagging my friends, like, did you read The Midnight Library? I'm like, I remember my first book. Because, yeah, I don't know. It's very simple and boring, in my opinion. But I do think Matt Haig's books, other books are good. And if you're listening, Matt. Another one, Untamed by Glennon Doyle. It started so well. It really did. It was like hyping up you and women. And I don't know. It just took a turn in it. And it was just like a bit preachy, and it was just really like, look how great she is. But I don't know. I mean, some people loved it. It's only when I looked at reviews, a lot of people felt the same as me. I don't know. I always feel, I'm always hesitant to criticize a woman, especially because, and I'll probably do a full podcast on this, but I feel like we are ingrained to criticize confident women. So I'd have to question that myself. Did I not like the book, or am I threatened by her confidence and her self-awareness and all of that? So I don't know, but there was definitely a lot of reviews similar to how I felt. That's a lot of books I got through. There's some books that will open up topics that I can speak about on full podcasts. I do think if anything there spiked an interest, if anything like annoyed you, if anything really like felt like, oh, I don't believe that, or anything like that, that's probably even more of an indication to read it, because then you obviously, I can't do any book here justice by just saying a couple of words on it, but it is a good way to open up your own horizon. You could read a book and completely disagree with it, and that's completely fine. I just hope I've given you a little bit of inspiration. And then in terms of, I'll quickly mention how I actually read or how I get through these. Someone asked me yesterday how I do it when I'm so busy. I'm an inherently lazy person. Like if I don't have my morning routine, it just doesn't happen. So I have to read in the morning. I can't read at nighttime because I fall asleep. I have to do 15 minutes of two books, but I've worked up to that. Like half an hour feels like a long time when you're reading, when you're not used to it. So I set a timer on my watch, 15 minutes, my phone's on Do Not Disturb, and I read for 15 minutes of one book. And it doesn't sound like much, but you can really get through a good bit. I just didn't like the idea of having a chapter or a certain number of pages to read. I think it's because I'm quite military with my timing in the morning. So I was like, half an hour, that's what you get. No distractions, just read. And again, half an hour on one book can feel like a lot. So that's why I like to do two. And it just keeps things interesting as well. And I'm not allowed buy a new book until I finish the last one, because I was a bad habit of going into bookshops, which I love. I was in Waterstones last night just taking notes and not letting myself buy anything, because I love looking at books. And oh my God, it was actually, a girl walked into Waterstones. They were just walking in the front door, two girls. And she's like, do you like to read? And she's like, no, I just like looking at them. And I was like, that's what I'm doing here. I'm here looking at books, but I do like to read. So yeah, that's my advice, is to find a time, any time in your day, even if it's 5 minutes. Like just start with 5 minutes a day, and even start with Atomic Habits, because like if you get through Atomic Habits a couple of pages at a time, you'll probably find yourself a lot easier to build the habit. So right, I will try wind it up there. Love to hear your thoughts, if you agree with any of them, if you disagree. On Spotify you can leave a little comment, and I'm sure we will do more of these, because that's not all the books I've read. That's only some of my favorites, or some of the ones I think that are best for you to read. I'm going to keep reading, so I'm sure there'll be more episodes on books, especially in more detail in some of them. So thank you again. If you've made it this far to the end of the podcast, thank you so much for listening. And I will see you in the next episode. This is Life Lessons with Siobhan O'Hagan.